With time running out on its continuing resolution and a big holiday season coming up, Congress has a lot on its plate. This week, look for a vote on that conference report on the National Defense Authorization Act and more debate on tax reform. Joining me with what to expect, Bloomberg Government Editorial Director Lauren Duggan. And Lauren, I guess the big thing is the NDAA. Will they vote on that this week and finally get that one over the line?
It seems that way. The House is tentatively scheduled to vote on that on Tuesday, and then we could see the Senate take its vote before it goes away for the Thanksgiving recess next week, if that sticks with that schedule. But this is an important piece of legislation. The Armed Services Committees in both chambers have worked behind closed doors to hammer out this agreement that they're now going to put in front of their two chambers to hopefully be accepted and get it onto President Trump's desk. Now, this is setting the policy, and it says how much overall they're willing to spend on defense policy, but some of those decisions still have to be made by the appropriators before that December deadline that you mentioned. And, you know, there's still a debate here about how much to spend in total, because this bill doesn't address the spending cap issue that has kind of overshadowed all of this year's discussion about what to do with federal spending.
Yeah, that's the big question, because what it does authorize is a figure above what would trigger sequestration. And
absolutely.
So if they go for that on the defense side, on the Republican side, that could cause all sorts of debates about the civilian side on the Democratic side.
Right. And that's sort of been the way sequestration was supposed to work, was that we'd go after defense spending and non-defense spending so that everyone would feel the pain, want to come to the table and negotiate on this. So far, the trajectory that the budget debates have taken this year is more money for defense, not necessarily more for non-defense, and in fact, in some places, cuts. If you think back to the president's budget request earlier this year, they wanted to take $54 billion from one side and give it to the other. That so far hasn't taken hold in Congress, and they're looking for either an even amount of money for non-defense or perhaps a little bit less. The Democrats do have significant leverage here, because in order to pass a spending bill in the Senate, you're going to need some Democratic votes, given the slim majority that Republicans have there. So this debate isn't over. There are discussions being held separately from the authorization debate about raising the spending caps and how to pay for that if they do. And that's another thing we'll be watching both heading into Thanksgiving and then coming out of it, because you kind of have to have a number and then leave enough time for the appropriators to write bills that add up to that number.
And on the policy side, there's always lots of goodies, even for the civilian side of government, buried in the NDAA, because it's a good vehicle for getting things passed. One of those is the MGT Act, which is the Managing Government Technology Act, and that applies to the civilian side of government. But that made it through in the conference report, correct?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's an attractive vehicle for some of these good government or government management bills, because the Defense Department is such a leading buyer of goods, right? So the MGT Act was a natural sidecar for this piece of legislation. And federal contractors always want to watch this bill, because it may change the way that business is done. One of the things in here that contractors haven't liked is the so-called loser pays provision that may force defense contractors to adjust how often they file protests after they lose a bid. This is something that we follow pretty closely here, because we have government contracting readers at Bloomberg Government. So this is a provision we've been keeping an eye on, and so far people don't seem very happy. So they may have to live with it, though, because this bill does seem pretty pre-greased to get to the law books.
Any other big policy provisions in there in the NDAA?
Well, there's a pay raise, 2.4% for troops, which I think is always a welcome thing that Congress likes to tout that they've done for the military. And, you know, there's thousands of pages here. We're still poring over it and finishing up our analysis of it. But needless to say, it does touch a lot of areas of the government and is a big accomplishment for the Armed Services Chairman, for sure.
And also in Congress, they're debating tax, which, of course, the mainstream media have been covering endlessly. What's the outlook for getting anything done in the coming week?
Well, the House is scheduled to vote later this week on the bill, and that would be a huge step to get that over the finish line in the House. The package that came out of the Ways and Means Committee right before Veterans Day is pretty close to a finished product, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a few more tweaks before it hit the floor, either to solidify some wavering support or perhaps even take care of any budgetary problems they might find over the coming days. I think the House can probably pass it, send it over to the Senate, and that's where things get a little murkier. We're still waiting for the Finance Committee to finish its job that is starting Monday, and from there we'll see how quickly they get it to the floor and if they can pass it and get it to a conference. So there's a long way to go still on this. There was a time when people were eyeing Thanksgiving to be a deadline perhaps for this. It looks like it'll go well past that, and I wouldn't even rule out this taking into next next year, just given the complexity of this legislation and the other things on the agenda.
We're speaking with Lauren Duggan, editorial director of Bloomberg Government. And there's some other good government bills outside of the NDAA, outside of tax, that could come up, such as a successor to the Data Act or something to add on to it.
Right. And this is a piece of legislation that has a pretty important sponsor, Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, who's also paired up with Patty Murray. Now, this legislation touches a couple different things. A couple of years ago, they had an idea for creating a commission on evidence-based policymaking. That commission put out its report, and this second piece of legislation is meant to implement some of those recommendations by telling federal agencies to make more information available to the public in an open and unrestricted format. So that would give everyone a chance to manipulate this data, do analysis, and kind of run their own studies on things so that they can help shape how policy is made. So we probably will see action on this bill Wednesday in the House, given that it's got a Republican and a Democratic sponsor on the two different chambers. This seems like the sort of bill that could move pretty easily. But the trend in the recent years has been to open up data and from the government so that private entities, nonprofit institutions, educational institutions can use it. And this is the latest in that effort.
And the nation seems to be caught up in a frenzy of concern over the sexual abuse reports coming from many domains, including Capitol Hill.
There's been action already on this. On the Senate side, they adopted a resolution to require training on sexual harassment for their staff. The House Administration Committee is taking a look at the issue this week, holding a hearing. One of the people that will be attending that is Jackie Speer, who's a representative, but was also many years ago a staff member who has herself come forward and talked about some of the abuse and harassment she encountered when she was a staffer. So that's something that's happening on the periphery right now, and the House and the Senate are trying to take internal actions first to, I guess, clean up their own house, if you will. And I'm sure there will be discussion going forward about how to address this on a broader perspective. The Defense Authorization Act has looked at sexual harassment and sexual issues in recent years in terms of the military academies and how things happen in the service branches. So this topic does come up from time to time in Congress. Obviously, there's more focus on it now with what's happening in Hollywood and the media and even in our politics right now.
I guess they can have training for Congressional Hill staff members, but what about members of Congress?
Well, I think that will trickle through as well. I mean, one of the challenges here is that congressional offices have somewhat operated on their kind of own system. When Republicans took over Congress in 1995, they passed the Congressional Accountability Act that tried to bring some of the workforce laws to bear on congressional operations. But there are still some ways in which it's kind of their own little fiefdoms. So we probably will see training trickle through over time there. I think that's definitely the trend, is talk to people, be open about it, be honest, and tell people what recourses they have when something does happen to them. So that's the trend, I think, that businesses are going through and have been going through for years, and Capitol Hill has been changing its policies, but obviously there are ample lawmakers who think more needs to be done, and they're trying to make that happen.
And a week from now, everyone will be plucking their turkeys, getting ready for Thanksgiving, and not long after that is the end of the continuing resolution, and we're hearing talk now come back about a government shutdown.
That's right, and there are a lot of issues that are coming to bear in this debate. For one thing, there's the government funding itself. There isn't yet an agreement on how much to spend. And then because if, let's say, they got agreement on a spending level, the question then is, what do they put in this year-end package that really will try to wrap up most of the business for the year outside of taxes and things like the defense authorization? The big question is, what do you do about the children who arrived illegally, or, I'm sorry, for undocumented immigrants who arrived in the U.S. illegally as children, these so-called Dreamers, who were covered by an Obama administration program called Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals? Democrats really want that year-end spending bill to do something for that population. If that's not in there, they may not vote for the package, and that might doom its success. So that's just one example of the kind of policy issues that are coming to bear there, because if you do bring up DACA, then you may have pressure from more conservative members to put in one of their priorities when it comes to immigration. So there's not a clear path forward for December 8th, and you could see another stopgap spending measure to get us through the end of the year or maybe into next year. But that's something that I think the leaders will be scrambling to figure out before they go home for Thanksgiving, because they will need a little bit of clarity about what they're doing when they come back. The bill covering the entire federal government spending will take time to put together.